Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news show. Today we'll start by talking about NVIDIA. They wrote a little blog post to explain the transition from their current proprietary drivers to their open source kernel modules. Now, these modules were introduced in 2022. At the time, they were alpha quality. They were only designed to work on workstations and data center stuff on a very limited selection of GPUs, not at all intended for the general public. But progressively, up until about now or in a few months when they release version 560 of their drivers, they will now become the default option, the supported option for people getting their drivers from NVIDIA. Of course, they needed to explain a few things that have changed. First, older NVIDIA GPUs will still rely on the older proprietary driver, not the open source modules. Anything that is from the Maxwell, Pascal, or Volta architecture, so as far as I know, anything older than an RTX card, you will still be using proprietary drivers. They haven't said they would drop these cards and stop supporting them, so probably you're still going to get updates to the proprietary drivers for these cards, but I can't imagine this will last for another 5 years. They will probably leave these cards without updates to their drivers at some point, if that's not already the case, but I'm pretty sure they'll still support it. Now, for anything that is RTX and anything that they will release in the future, this will be with the open source kernel modules. NVIDIA has an installer to install these drivers. Of course, this installer will likely be repackaged by distributions themselves, so it's an easier thing to do, but the installer itself has a detection script. So anyway, if you try to install the drivers, it will automatically install the right ones for you, either the proprietary drivers if you have an older GPU, or the open source modules if you have a newer one. NVIDIA also built a CUDA meta package that will install all you need for compute tasks, which is nice if you need, for example, to run DaVinci Resolve, if you do some 3D rendering, or just some visual effects work. It's great to have that. And they also gave install instructions for a few popular distros to install these open source modules when they are released, which should be relatively soon with the drivers version 560. Now, this doesn't mean NVIDIA is going fully open source, because this is just the kernel module that is open source. A lot of the actual code that makes the GPU do what it do is inside the binary firmware blob, it's the GSP firmware. So while the driver module that relies on that firmware is indeed open source, and that's nice, most of the code that your GPU will actually use is still proprietary. Now, it should make things a bit easier for a lot of distro maintainers because, well, if you really detect something that is broken in how you load this open module, you can try and contribute some code to fix that. And even though the module isn't part of the Linux kernel, you can still try and improve it. You will still have to juggle with updates to an external module that is not in the Linux kernel itself, but it should be easier to remedy issues if NVIDIA lets people actually contribute some fixes, which I don't know if they will, but hopefully, since they publish that code as open source, they might want people maybe to help, who knows. Now, yesterday also saw the release of Nobara 40. It is obviously based on Fedora 40, and it obviously released a bit later than Fedora 40 because that was released in April. Now, it is important to remember Nobara is not a Fedora spin. It's not just, hey, Fedora with KDE and three patches. There's a lot going on top of that Fedora base. They are a derivative distro. I would say they have basically as many changes from Fedora as Mint has on top of Ubuntu. They do change a lot of stuff here, so they will always take a while longer to release than the regular version of Fedora. Now, in Nobara 40, you're getting the latest Plasma 6.1. You're getting the latest GNOME 46.1 if you prefer that. But more importantly, you're getting a brand new system updater app to replace the weird bash script that ran updates for all the various components of the distro. It wasn't really reassuring for a newcomer. You launched that thing, it looked like a command line thing, but not really, because it had sort of a graphical UI on top of it. But it just wasn't super reassuring. It didn't feel polished at all. Now you get a Python graphical app that has all the updates for your packages, for your Flatpaks in the same place. And it also lets you install Flatpaks as well, meaning that Nobara actually removed GNOME software and KDE Discover from the default install. Obviously, you can still reinstall them if you want them, but they assume you will use their graphical app instead. You're also getting the kernel 6.8.12, which I'm pretty sure will be replaced at some point by the kernel 6.10, because Nobara tends to want to use the latest kernels. They add patches for specific devices, like some gaming handhelds, Surface tablets, or some MacBooks, so it should have solid hardware compatibility. You get the very latest graphics drivers from Mesa and from Nvidia. You get improved support for GameScope, which is a compositor Valve built for the Steam Deck that is used to run full-screen games. Nobara added a driver manager as well to handle all third-party drivers. And they also moved back to Firefox as their default browser instead of Chromium. Nobara is still what I run on my gaming PC. It's been really solid, really good. The performance isn't necessarily any better than any other gaming distro that might be Fedora-based. It's exactly the same as I showed in the video. Maybe frame pacing might be a little better, but the performance is absolutely identical to just gaming on Fedora. But you have all these utilities pre-installed and everything is pre-configured and you don't really need to think about it at all. You just install your games and you play them, so it's been cool. I will not miss the weird updater script once I have time to perform the update on my gaming PC. I think I will like the new graphical app much better. It sort of looks like something I've seen. I think maybe it was in vanilla OS, but it sort of looks like the same interface. So maybe it's just reusing something that was developed previously. And finally, let's talk PeerTube. They're getting some interesting updates soon, provided the instances admins perform their updates. Version 6.2 of PeerTube will add the ability for instances to automatically generate subtitles and transcripts for videos using Whisper, which is an AI tool. Of course, the admin of the instance will need to enable that for it to work. As a creator, you will also be able to just use a frame of your video as a thumbnail if you don't have anything that you created yourself. Live streams will now be placed more prominently on channel pages and on various pages in the instance itself. But more importantly, there's finally a way to moderate comments properly. You will be able to see all the comments on all your videos as a creator. You will be able to approve some of them or block them if they're offensive or if they just go against what you've set as the guidelines for your channel. You can also set up some words that will automatically flag comments for review. So basically, you finally have moderation tools for this kind of stuff, which was sorely needed on PeerTube. It is still a pretty small project, or at least the audience of people watching videos on PeerTube is really small, but I do love that project. I wish Google stopped breaking the YouTube downloader tool that PeerTube uses for its automatic video import, because I now have to upload the same video to two different places, doing some extra duplicate work, which is annoying. Not super time-consuming, but annoying. The automatic sync was a set-it-and-forget-it convenience. It made all the videos land on YouTube without me having to think about it, without any risk of me forgetting, and I miss that thing so much. So hopefully the YouTube downloader guys can find a solution to fix that thing, or maybe Google stops being dicks about this. Who knows? Probably developers will have to find a solution. I don't see Google stopping their sort of anti-YouTube video downloading like stance. Anyway, this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!